Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Josh Roberts about honoring Korean War vets. Then Chris Moore will share how to really help people feel near you even when you're gone. And Diane Reaver will share the movie of the month. And of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to introduce Josh Roberts from GNS North America. You guys are about to honor our Korean War vets. Tell us about GNS North America and why you're doing this, Josh.
Great. Thanks, Danny. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, GNS was founded in 1971 in South Korea by BC Kong as an automotive parts supplier. Over the last 50 years, GNS has continued to be a tier one supplier for major automotive manufacturers. As a Korean-owned company, GNS has always strived to support our Korean War veterans because without their sacrifice, GNS might not have had a chance to come to the USA and even have a business. So the owner of our company, Mr. M.G. Kong, he knew of Project Soldier. He learned of it from a friend, Rami Hyun, and Rami actually started it in Korea. Rami saw what the military was doing for our Korean War veterans. He was so impressed and wanted to support them and make them proud of their service. So GNS has supported Project Soldier since last year, and we've now invited to have Rami and the Project Soldier team come to Michigan and Ontario to help in finding Korean War veterans. And why was Project Soldier started? It was really started in order to remember those who have fought in the quote-unquote forgotten war and to memorialize their stories. Rami realized that time is of the essence to document these history-impacting individuals so that they and their families can celebrate their accomplishments and sacrifices for freedom.
So this is really a movement of appreciation by the South Korean people for what the Americans did to keep them free. That's what this is about. And they put their money where their mouth is. They're not just saying nice words. They're trying to be helpful, useful, supportive. Am I right?
You are exactly right. Absolutely.
Okay. Talk to us some more about Project Soldier.
Yeah. Project Soldier, it utilizes multiple media outlets, such as YouTube and Facebook, and it sources and tries to find living Korean War veterans. In addition, obviously, we're trying to spread word of mouth, and thank you again for having me on the show today. And in like shores like yours, Denny, that we try to get the word out. Once Project Soldier locates individuals, Rami will schedule an appointment with them, and he'll come to the U.S. and visit these individuals. And Project Soldier makes stops all over. Could be veteran halls, could be individuals' homes even, in order to meet with them. Or they might have a larger, more public event and try to have, a collective group and get a larger representation for those.
Okay. That certainly makes sense. And this is something that you're doing this year really soon, aren't you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, exactly. Rami is coming to the States August 6th through the 15th. And obviously we're out there trying to find as many veterans as we can find so that Rami could meet with them.
Okay. Korean War veterans, as you've already pointed out, are fairly senior age-wise, and there aren't a lot of them. How do they get in touch with you? If I know one, if I am one, if I've got a relative who's one?
Absolutely. No, thank you for that. And they would actually contact me directly. I will be coordinating all the logistics of the visits. Again, my name is Josh Roberts with GNS North America. My email address is jroberts@gnsauto.com. Again, that's jroberts@gnsauto.com. And I'd get back with them immediately.
And if you forget that and didn't write it down, you're listening on the phone, email me, Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. I'll get Josh. I know how to get him and do regularly. So when he comes to, he's going to show up wherever he can work it out during that time. And he's going to take pictures. What's he going to do?
Yeah, exactly. And thank you. And this is the really cool part of what Rami does. And yeah, exactly. He'll ideally would get a group session where we could have multiple veterans. But if we can't do that, We would go to individuals' homes if they're willing to do that. And he does. He takes pictures of them to help memorialize them. So what he actually offers to them in doing this, and it's free to the veterans. There's no charge of this. He does this on his own accord. He actually provides a history brochure about the Korean War. He provides a Korean flag. There's a Korean War letter that is drafted memorializing their contributions. And then he actually makes them a framed picture of themselves. And if it's at a group setting, it's a framed picture of the group setting as well. And again, this is a fantastic way that he honors and respects and shows appreciation for these veterans and their families. And he wants to help leave a lasting legacy with them. And again, all of these things Rami does out of the Project Soldier nonprofit pocket. So there's no charge to the veterans for this when he does this.
Okay. In what ways can other people provide support, donations or whatever? Because obviously this money comes out of somebody's pocket. And talk to us about how we non-Korean veterans can support this.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I appreciate that question. And really, I'd say the biggest priority right now is just helping us find Korean War veterans. That really is the most important thing that we're experiencing right now. That's our largest priority. So, you know, Project Soldier realizes that time is of the essence at this point. So if anyone knows any Korean War veterans, please pass their names along and contact information, whether it's directly to me or, as Denny stated, to him, and he'll pass it to me, and we'll get in contact with these folks. Again, there is an urgency to record and to celebrate their legacy ASAP. People say the Korean War is the forgotten war, which is why this is so important. Project Soldier wants to acknowledge them. They want to, you know, let them be proud and to have an unforgettable experience. They want them to share their stories so they could have that out there. And obviously, as Denny pointed out, Rami works off of donations, and that's how he helps fund this. So if folks are willing and able to do that, obviously we would get you in touch with Project Soldier and Rami to help facilitate that. And that would be greatly appreciated as well.
This is awesome. I really appreciate the fact I was never in Korea. I served 22 years in the Army, was never in Korea, but I appreciate the fact that the people, the government of South Korea appreciate what happened when we went in there in 1950 for three of fighting, that they still appreciate. Of course, they've got North Korea across their border just in case they forget what it could be like. But the fact that they are still being supportive of American soldiers who fought there, I think that's awesome.
Yep, absolutely. And we do too, you know, both from the Project Soldier front as well as the GNS North America front as well. We're very thankful and appreciative for all that they did. And that's why we really wanted to partner with Rami and help facilitate Project Soldier, because there is just so much appreciation for all those individuals.
That is awesome. Josh, any final comment before we wrap it up?
Denny, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come and speak with you today. And a reminder to folks, again, August 6th through 15th is the time that we're really going to be planning these visits with Project Soldier and meeting with individuals. And hopefully, you know, folks out here that are listening to this can help facilitate some interactions and some meetings with some Korean War veterans. So thank you so much for your time today.
And those, we're looking for Korean War vets all over the United States, not just in Michigan, where you and I are located, right?
That is correct. You're exactly right. Wherever they're at, we would like to learn of them.
Good deal. Josh, thank you. Thank you for sharing this wonderful way your company is honoring Korean War vets. And thank you for all you guys do in our community. This is what America is supposed to be about.
Thank you, Denny. I appreciate that.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Now it's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time, do 40, do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
GNS, a Korean-owned company operating in North America, will be supporting an effort to honor and respect the veterans who fought in the Korean War. This effort is done in conjunction with an organization called Project Soldier. Project Soldier is a nonprofit organization based in the US and Korea. Since 2013, it has been taking photographs and videos of Korean War veterans all over the world. GNS North America is honored to host Project Soldier August 6th to 15th in Michigan and Ontario. Project Soldier wants to interview and take photos of these veterans. They will then receive pictures and have their experience memorialized, which proudly tells of their sacrifice for freedom. If anyone knows any Korean War veterans nearby, please contact Joshua Roberts at jroberts@gnsauto.com. jroberts@gnsauto.com.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S. only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome Chris Moore. Chris introduced me to something I'd heard of but never experienced. You put this thing on your face and turn it on and you can see all kinds of things. And he's developed a technique where military folks going on deployments can use it to help their families and friends feel their presence. I don't even know how to better describe it. That's why I got Chris with us today. So welcome, Chris. You're going to have to take it from here, bro.
Very much, Denny. I really appreciate it. About a year and a half ago, my father went ahead and gotten cancer, and it was terminal. So I was trying to find a way for my family to go ahead and cope with the loss of that tragedy. With that right there, I came up with the idea of recording a 360 video that was semi-interactive. So when my mom watched a video of my dad, she could put a VR headset on her head and have a conversation with him. And then during the middle of that, he left a heartfelt message about how he felt or how he thought she should carry on. And then at the very end of it, there were several text messages that was originally sent from my dad to my mom, just for that little authenticity. Now, I was also able to do this for my siblings, too. It wasn't as expansive as what we have right now, because it was just a small end that we're looking at. I was really just looking at a way to make my family grieve a little bit easier. Afterwards, I realized that this might be able to be a business. So I started researching. I took about 8 months just to see if it was possible to make it affordable for individuals, make it worthwhile for somebody to really use to help utilize with grief. My partner that I have, Lindsay Huffman, she went ahead and brought the idea to my attention of the military and what we could do. And yeah, we could offer the same type of setup, and we do as what we do for our basic programs, but our military program really has two things that are very different that stand aside that I'm truly proud of. And I'd really like Lindsay to explain it. So here she is.
Thank you, Lindsay. Welcome aboard. Go for it.
Well, we all know that majority of families have somebody serving in the military, whatever branch may be. I know Chris, like he said, his brother was in the military. As well, had military individuals. I've taken care of the veterans even. So all that just kind of was an idea of knowing that all the stories I heard of how hard it was for them to come back home, how hard it was, you know, for them to even readjust to family life or even as a bachelor or bachelorette type of thing. So I brought in the whole military thing of this, like this, it's pretty basic to the basic package, but it's more of the stock footage, the trigger moments that really make it hard for them to come back. Them trigger moments that take them back to the bad traumas that they had in their deployment or anything. Everybody sees action anytime they're deployed, good or bad. So I guess for them to come back in a smoother way, using the stock footage of having the hunting with guns or the driving on busy streets or the walking on busy sidewalks, anything like that that would trigger anything. It's a visual and audio that could help them be prepared to come home, as in even just different culture-wise.
So yeah, that's kind of the basic, but also along with what Lindsay was saying is, so like one of the videos, you leave these videos behind for your family. So if something were to happen to them over there, their kids, their spouses, they have a way to go ahead and still adapt. One of the scenarios are called ageless videos. So this right here would be, unfortunately, if a soldier had lost their life beforehand, we could tape an event where they're actually reading a story time, a book to their child, and their child goes to sleep and they leave a heartfelt message for them along with a semi-scripted event. So it doesn't matter if that child is 8 years old or 28 years old, they can always go back to that video and get the same effect out of it and the same type of conversation. The big thing for the military, they get to take a video with them. And so we go there when we shoot the regular footage, and either, let's say, their spouse and their children are in the room playing a game, or let's say it's in their man cave or their she shack. This stuff right here is for when they're over there and they're kind of feeling homesick and miss everything and not able to actually call, they can have this video downloaded. You don't need the internet for it or anything like that. You can download it to a hard device. And with that right there, they can pop on that VR headset. They can feel like they're home again. Now, I know we've been talking a lot about the VR headset, but all of our programs, all of our videos that we have can be seen on cell phones. So it actually works in 360. You can use it on augmented reality devices, tablets, desktops, almost anything out there that's digital. You can watch our format on it. The stock footage, though, I am super excited about.
Me too.
That right there, like I said, there's one of them where you're hunting in the woods and there's literally 3 minutes of just birds and quiet sounds. And then you have that gunfire. Same with the driving down the streets. You start to hear horns honking, bumper to bumper traffic. And so even fireworks and stuff. We went ahead and we reached out to several individuals that were in the military and asked them what their triggers were when they came back on over. And so from that right there, we had an idea of what we could do. Now, the stock footage is free for the individual. They still get the same amount of videos as what like a basic package would get or a deluxe, but they get that video footage for free. That's an extra video that they get. They don't pay for that one. And all of them are on our website, so they could actually preview which one that they have. And maybe if they're already over there and looking at doing this, they already can kind of pre-select, or maybe because of their job description, they know they're going to be around a lot of loud noises or in combat and stuff.
Something so, that would be chosen just for them.
And this right here, really, it's just to go ahead and make it to where they treat PTSD currently with VR technology. So I guess this would be similar to where they could go ahead and see these visual and audios and realize by the time they come back on over here, it's not that big of a shock to them when they hear that.
That's just awesome. And the potential for that, if I were going to be gone during a child's graduation from high school, I could record something for them. They could play right then, right there. I mean, the potential of this is amazing, isn't it? I mean, there's so many things you can do.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, it was crazy because I have so many family members that are actually in the military that I never thought of that. And that's why I always take in consideration all outpoint views, because you never know what great ideas you're going to come across. And Lindsay was very gracious and able to bring this into it. And from there, we just kept designing and adding more and more and really just reaching out to our military community to find out what we can do to help them.
Wow. If there's anything like this going on, I've sure missed it. But
so
this
honestly,
is amazing.
We are the first in the world. We checked in the United States before we opened and everything, checked within the world. No company is doing anything near what we are doing. There's VR companies that do weddings and stuff like that. But for anything that's being used as a grief tool, and again, this is a tool to be used in a mental health tool bag. We're not a solo crutch, but we are a big part of helping to grieve.
That's awesome. Chris, we're out of time. Before I let you go, how can people get in touch with you? How can people learn more, get involved?
Well, please go to our website at moretogive.com. That's more with two O's. It's my last name, so it's a play on words. On there, you can go to contact us. We also have a phone number. It is 616-400-2588. If you go ahead and give us a call, we'll get back with you within 48 hours.
More to give, MoreToGive. .com.
Yes, sir.
Chris, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for taking
time. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting us be on. I appreciate it, Denny.
Yeah, what you're doing for our nation's military families is awesome. I appreciate you too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver, and then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice, then take a break or stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time to review the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome, Diane. Hey, you've been traveling a bit this year, haven't you?
Yes, I have, Denny. Thank you so much for having me. You know, this is the highlight of my month every month, and it's always an honor and a privilege to be with you and your audience.
Hey, we're a good team. We've been doing this for quite a while.
Yeah, 5 years.
Does that mean we're getting old?
No, never.
Couldn't be. Okay, well, this month's movie is Two Strangers Who Met Five Times. Boy, was that an interesting movie.
Well, it speaks to everything we do in life is so important, and you never know how it's going to impact, you know, you or the rest of the world. And what a beautiful film this was. I just loved it.
Yes, it is a constant reminder that you really don't ever have to be a jerk.
Well, there is that. Yes. And if you do, it might come back to bite you in the butt.
That's right. And therefore, when all those opportunities present themselves, it's best to say, later, or something like that. And that certainly happened here. I didn't know what to expect when I started watching it, and I couldn't turn it off. I'll tell you when it was going.
No, it was riveting. I so enjoy this film club, Denny. So thank you for allowing me to share what I do with your audience. It's been very enriching.
Oh, and fun. So this is clearly a message to treat others as you'd like to be treated. Isn't that something your mommy always taught you?
Well, I think it's also the basis of all organized religions. If you grind it all down, that's basically what each one teaches, to love thy neighbor as thyself, you know?
And it also delves into common sense.
Well, there is that.
Okay, let's get a few comments here. One, I thought it was interesting. They showed meeting number two, then three, then four, then one, finally five. Yeah. That's true. And that sort of made the story flow, right?
Well, yes. I mean, that's cinematic arts at its best. You don't have to show A, B, C, D. I think that really developed the story in a way that, had you gone in chronological order, might not have been as interesting.
I think it would not have been. That was cool. So another comment. Two adults. One is at the ATM drawing out some money. The other is waiting. The guy takes a long time, and the waiting guy calls him names. They confront and depart. Oh, they didn't get physical, right? I mean,
No. It was just unpleasant.
Yes. And I think clearly the waiting guy was the jerk in this case. I thought the guy at the ATM behaved pretty reasonable.
Yeah, he tried to be, you know, level-headed.
On the other hand, I wonder what took him so long. You know,
well, Sometimes those machines are not as easy as they should be.
You know, I was doing an interview with a guy about my age, and he was having trouble getting the computer to work. And we both decided that if we both had seven-year-old grandsons helping us, we'd both be done faster. But neither of us did. Okay, well, as a matter of fact, here, the next comment was, I do wonder what took him so long at the ATM. I wonder if he knew or even cared if someone was waiting. That's a good perspective, too.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when you're at an ATM dealing with money, how often do you look over your shoulder? Maybe you should often.
It depends on where you are. In New York City, you learn to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Then the second time the name caller is applying for a job that he appears quite qualified for. The initial interview goes very well, and in comes the boss to make the final decision. And yes, he's the ATM guy, and he asks, do I know you? He remembers there's no job, and that's reasonable. Yeah, that's a pretty good summary of that meeting, that apparently the name caller was qualified and dressed right, and so this couldn't have been the only job he ever applied for.
But it had a major impact on the rest of his life, that whole incident. And that's the point, is that when you're a jerk, you don't know how it's going to impact the ripple effect. So trying not to be a jerk is always a better idea.
Very, very well said. You never know when it's going to come back. Next time, not surprising that neither remembered the conversation or the confrontation at first. And the ATM guy did remember. We don't know how much he remembered, but he remembered it had to put a bad taste in his mouth. And there you are. No job. Might have been different if he'd been the only qualified guy. Who knows?
Who knows?
Here's a question. I wonder if the name caller apologized then or ever. Well, we know. Well,
I think at the end we see that there's some sort of reconciliation in a way. You know what I mean? So whether it was said verbally or in another way, I think that, all's well that ends well.
Yeah, and it you're also able to forgive people even if they don't necessarily deserve it.
Because, well, of course.
Because when you do something dumb, you want to get forgiven even if you don't deserve it.
Forgiveness is a universal, hope that everyone would learn forgiveness in their lives, Yeah.
It's good to both forgive and then also to be forgiven when appropriate.
Right, and to forgive yourself. I think that's a major thing often overlooked, too.
Here's the next comment. Years later, the name caller is homeless, sitting on a bench begging for money. The ATM guy comes by and stops. Name caller recognizes him and apologizes. There's the apology.
Yeah.
And they say the guy was right in not hiring him. The ATM guy does not remember, goes away, goes to an ATM, comes back with cash. The gift of cash must have been a significant amount, because it moved the poor guy to tears. Wow. So ATM guy, maybe he doesn't remember who the jerk is, but he likes to help or is willing to help people in need.
Yeah, he turned out to be a really good guy. Well, they both did in their own way. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. But, given the fact that we next see the name caller in an old Pope people's home being cared for, dressed right, in good shape, there must have been some money there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly could have come from the gift of cash that he got while he was begging money. I mean, who knows? You can speculate that till the cows come home. But
well, that's artistic license. We can fill in the blanks any way we like,
Yep. And I guess the moral is that being a jerk can cost you something, a job in this case, but you don't have to stay a jerk.
Right. And we all need to evolve. I mean, let's face it, we're all jerks at some point, and learning from our mistakes and evolving always a better choice.
It is. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. And the film festival won't be till next year, but take a minute on where you stand now. Are you still taking
films for it?
Yes. If you know a filmmaker or a composer or an actor, please have them go to www.gsff.org. It's our call for entries is open until November 1st for our 2024 festival. And we hope to see a lot of the listeners, friends and relatives, and possibly themselves submit to us. It would be great.
And also come to the festival the end of March, right?
Yes, March 21 through 24 in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
And it is amazing. And if you forget all of that, contact me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com. I got all the information. Diane, thank you. Thank you for this great film, for being a wonderful member of the Frontlines of Freedom team, for being a great friend. I really appreciate you. God bless
you. Thank you. Thank you, Denny. It's always an honor and a great privilege to be with you.
We are a good team. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? And once your ranger ready, then stand at ease.
$30 trillion in debt, 20 years of endless war, and veterans not able to get the care they deserve. These are some of the issues Concerned Veterans for America is confronting head-on. At CVA, we aim to amplify the veteran perspective to create a better future for all Americans. But we need your help. Join CVA in shaping a better tomorrow for you, your family, and your community. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement. That's cv4a.org.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it is mailbag time. I really do welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Colonel, Harry asks, there's a lot of talk about sending cluster munitions to Ukraine. What exactly are cluster ammunitions?
Harry, cluster bombs are weapons that open in the air, releasing submunitions or bomblets that are dispersed over a large area and are intended to wreak destruction on multiple targets all at once. The bombs can be delivered by planes, artillery, or missiles. They're controversial because these bomblets have a high rate of failure and can injure civilians long after the combat is over.
And Army vet Doug wrote, great comments on the growing threat to the West by China. China is a growing dragon with its scales are getting larger and thicker. Also, the dragon's fire breathing is getting hotter and reaches out further. The balloon debacle and surveillance radar on Cuban soil that is reportedly being built by the Chinese. What has happened to our nation's vigilance pertaining to national security? Our government is more and more indifferent, lackadaisical, and aloof to the changing geopolitical landscape that is poised to weaken America to the point of being the frog in the pan with cold water. The heat turned up, and the frog doesn't know it's being boiled.
Unfortunately, Doug, you're right on. That's the problem. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, Colonel, on 2 August 1776, in Philadelphia, most members of the Continental Congress began attaching their signatures to the parchment copy of the Declaration of Independence.
And on the 31st of July, 1777, during our Revolutionary War, the Marquis de Lafayette, a 19-year-old French nobleman, was made a major general in our Continental Army.
Wow. That's pretty good for a 19-year-old, Colonel.
Not bad at all.
And on 2 August 1819, the first parachute jump from a balloon was made by Charles Guile in New York City.
I wonder where he landed.
I hope in New York City.
Well, I don't think he hit the skyscraper there. I don't think they had it up yet.
Probably not.
And on the 1st of August, 1864, during our Civil War, Union General Ulysses Grant appointed General Philip Sheridan commander of the Army of the Shenandoah. Within a few months, Sheridan drove the Confederates from Shenandoah Valley and destroyed nearly all of the possible resources for rebel supplies, helping to seal the fate of the Confederacy. Although this victory is not as famous as General Sherman's March to the Sea through Georgia, which took place at the same time, it may have been even more comprehensive. The Shenandoah Valley, so important throughout the war, was rendered useless to the Confederacy.
And on 2 August 1909, what will become the U.S. Army Air Corps was formed as the Army Signal Corps took its first delivery from the Wright brothers.
I wonder why they gave them to the Signal Corps. It had to do something with them, I guess.
Yeah.
On the 1st of August 1942, during World War II, Ensign Henry White, flying a J-4F Wigeon plane, sank German U-boat U-166 as it approached the Mississippi River. That was the first German U-boat sunk by our Coast Guard. In the summer of 1942, German submarines put saboteurs ashore on American beaches. I didn't know that.
And on 1 August 1943, during World War II, a Japanese destroyer rammed American PT boat number 109, slicing it in two. The destruction was so massive, other PT boats assumed the crew was dead. But 11 crewmen survived, including Lieutenant John Kennedy. It was essential to the Japanese that several of their destroyers make it to the southern tip of Kalambangara Island to supply forces there. But the American PTs were a potential threat. PTs set out to intercept those Japanese destroyers. In the midst of battle, PT-109 was hit. After 5 hours of clinging to debris from the decimated PT boat, the crew made it to a coral island. Kennedy decided to swim out to sea again, hoping to flag down a passing American boat. None came. Kennedy swam back to shore. Upon reaching the island, he fell ill. After he recovered, the crew swam to a larger island, what they believed was Nauru Island, but was in fact Cross Island. They met up with two natives from the island who agreed to take a message south. Kennedy carved the distress message into a coconut shell. Nauru Island. Native knows position. He can pilot. 11 alive need small boat. The message reached Lieutenant Arthur Evans, who was watching the coast of Gomu Island, located next to an island occupied by the Japanese. Kennedy and his crew were paddled to Gomu. A PT boat then picked them up. Kennedy was awarded the Navy and Marine Corps Medal. The coconut shell used to deliver his message found a place in history and in the Oval Office.
And that Navy Marine Corps Medal is the Navy and Marines equivalent of the Army Soldiers Medal.
I think that's pretty cool.
On the 3rd of August, 1943, during World War II, General George Patton slapped a private at an Army hospital in Sicily, accusing him of cowardice. Patton was later ordered by General Dwight Eisenhower to apologize for this and a second similar episode.
I like General Patton, but I wouldn't have wanted to be the private, I suppose.
Amen. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a female jogger fought off an attacker who grabbed her on a popular hiking trail near Orlando on Sunday. Israel Pagan, 19, grabbed the victim as she ran along Little Econ Greenway Trail about 5 p.m. The jogger was able to fend off the assault and took a picture of Pagan as the broad daylight incident unfolded. Police used the image to canvass the area and eventually made an arrest. Pagan allegedly told police he grabbed the woman by her shoulders, got on top of her before ending the attack. He also told police he was drunk at the time. He now faces a charge of attempted sexual battery.
Thanks, Colonel. Let's get right to the heart of the matter. Women, you have got to start arming yourself in greater numbers. Many of you have an irrational fear of guns, and it enables rapists and murderers to kill you in alarming numbers. This has to stop, and only you can do the job. There will always be rapists because of the evil and lust inside men's hearts. We can't bring the number of rapes down to zero. However, we can mitigate the damage done to women by evil men. Here are some tips for reducing the amount of rapes in the country. First and foremost, ladies, it's time to arm up and get trained. You shouldn't be out jogging without a firearm. My wife likes to go on walks, and she doesn't like to carry her pistol, but I insist on it. She resists because she simply doesn't believe anything bad will ever happen to her. But I nagged and I nagged her relentlessly until she agreed to carry the gun on her walks. Now she takes it whenever she leaves the house. It doesn't have to be a hand cannon. It can be light and small, like a five-shot revolver or even a .22 caliber. The encounter with a rapist will always be contact close. You don't even have to be a good shot. Just place the gun in his ribs and press the trigger multiple times. Yes, ladies, I understand that sounds cold and harsh, but so is being brutally raped and murdered. Rapes and murders are up, and they won't come down until women start shooting their attackers. Look at it this way. Killing one serial rapist not only saves your life, but the lives of the dozens or hundreds of women that that man would have raped throughout his lifetime. Rapes will not end until women end it. It's up to you. Second, if you still refuse to carry a gun, at least take someone with you on your walks and your jogs. One unarmed woman is a victim. Two women deter rapes because one is a victim and the other is a witness. They are likely to wait for the lone woman. Ladies, it's morally good to shoot a serial rapist. I view it as an important service to the community. Any man who forces himself on a woman deserves to die, and women should be the ones who dole out the punishment. It has the ring of poetic justice that leaves me feeling warm and fuzzy. This Orlando woman was able to fight off her attacker, and Front Lines of Freedom salutes her tenacity. But we also encourage her to get armed and trained so that next time she can do the job more efficiently and more safely.
Indeed. We really, really need to do that. Okay, our movie of the month is Two Strangers Who Met Five Times. We just reviewed it. You can still go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get it, get the link. You can watch it for free still. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll celebrate our Coast Guard's birthday. Admiral Steve Poland, the Coast Guard's Vice Commandant, will share about the Coast Guard. And then retired Coast Guard Captain Tom Haas will discuss leadership. And Bob Hensler will discuss being a U.S. Army Ranger. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book at frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Amazon. Please get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud, Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.